Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You're listening to The Overdrive live on Chai FM 101.9 FM in Johannesburg and streaming worldwide on chaifm.com. I'm joined on the line by Dr. Nivesh Sulal. He is a healthcare practitioner specializing as a pulmonologist at the Morningside Clinic. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Doctor, we're living in the midst of a pandemic, and it's a topic that can never get old. It's a very important topic. Everybody needs to know about it, and they need to be reminded about the effects of COVID. Can you tell us in a nutshell how COVID can affect one's respiratory system?
Okay. I think it's an important concept because it actually is more than just the respiratory system. So people talk about having flu-like illness, which means the virus gets into your body. So one of the ways that it gets in is actually via receptors in the lungs or in the respiratory layers or lining. So there's lining layers, and the virus comes along, and it has specific proteins called spike proteins that hang on to receptors in the lining, and they're called the ACE receptors. So basically, the long and the short of it is that's how it gets into the body. Once it's in the body, it starts hiding away from all your immune cells and starts wreaking havoc. So in the lungs, that's what we heard about right at the beginning. Pneumonia is the first thing. So bad cases of pneumonia, and if the pneumonia spreads to both sides, we start talking about things called ARDS or severe pneumonias and respiratory failure when you can't breathe properly. And the lung issues and the lung effects are basically twofold. It can be just a little bit of shortness of breath to someone requiring a respirator or a ventilator. But there's two kinds of diseases. One is the pneumonia, where it affects the actual substance of the lung itself from the airway lining. And the other thing is because one of the things that this virus does is that it causes blood clots, or it predisposes you to getting blood clotting. So we find that a lot of the blood vessels that lead to the lungs that are supposed to pick up oxygen have blood clots in them. So when people talk about lung embolisms or pulmonary embolism, it's basically blood clots that have worked their way into the lung. This is one of the diseases that can actually do it as well. So it affects the lung itself as a pneumonia, and it affects the blood vessels. So that's just the lungs, but it really can affect any organ in the body. And it's been described in everything from the brain to the kidneys to the liver to the heart to the skin. And it really is a multi-system or multiple organ system disease.
And doctor, tell us about the vaccines that have come out. How do mRNA vaccines differ from other vaccines?
So the thing about it is this. So to try not to give an entire immunology lesson, when you get a virus into your system, the virus starts attacking your system, and your immune system has to actually try and fight back against it. So we have things called antibodies, and we have T cells. So those are the two ways that your immune system learns about these things, and it actually goes after them. Now, it finds targets to defend. So basically, if you look at the virus itself, if you look at pictures of it, it looks like there's spikes all around it or thorns around it. Those are called spike proteins. Now, one of the ways that this gets into the body is that these spike proteins start interacting with various cells, and it starts causing damage. So by the time your body develops a defense mechanism, that process can take anywhere from a day to 2 days to never. Now, in that time, if the virus is particularly aggressive or your body is particularly compromised, you won't be able to buy time to defend it against the damage that this has done. Now, what we do with vaccines is that we give you some inborn protection. So we give you either a piece of the virus itself or something that looks like the virus so that your body doesn't get sick. But it does get to learn a little bit about it, and it learns how to make antibodies. So when you actually do get the infection, then you're able to produce a response because you've already got some ammunition in your armamentarium. That's how vaccines work. Now, the typical old vaccines were they take a piece of virus, and sometimes it could be live, like the old polio vaccines, or sometimes it could be dead virus, or what we call inactivated virus. And that's where we inject pieces of little virus into you, and you may get a bit of a fever, you may feel a little bit off for a day or so, but your body develops antibodies to that. That's a typical virus. Now, mRNA is a funny thing because it's basically a template. So it's not injecting pieces of virus into you, but it's the technology where you're putting a template and the template actually goes into your cells and starts making proteins. And the protein that it's made to is that spike protein we were talking about. Now, the interesting thing about it is it's not really been used in human vaccines before. There's been an Ebola vaccine that's been used for this, and this is a technology that has been transformed and gone over. So the main difference is the way it actually causes immunity in the body or makes your body immune. And some people would say because it's manufactured and it's away from sort of other things, that it might be more effective than the old vaccines. So for example, the two new mRNA vaccines have been reported to be effective to about 90%. Whereas the older sort of technology where they use another vaccine, another virus to take particles of protein in, that was sort of looked at about 60%. Now remember, we look at 50, 60% efficacy of a vaccine as being not bad. So 60% is not bad, 90% is obviously better. But it's still very early days. The technology is new. There's still a lot of things we don't know about the technology, but it seems very exciting. And because the process is a little bit different, you could manufacture this potentially a little bit quicker. There are problems with these new vaccines in that they need to be stored and transported at very, very low temperatures. So obviously, in a continent like ours, it's going to be a problem trying to maintain, minus 70 degrees freezing point. But these are things that we're going to have to sort of learn in due course. And remember, this is all about a disease that's only 10 months old. We're learning about this, all the time, and it's still early days.
Doctor, thank you so much for taking time out of your very heavy schedule. We know that you're also an ICU expert at Morningside Clinic. So we look forward to chatting to you again, and just keep safe. And to our listeners, yes, keep safe out there as well. Dr. Devish Sulal, he is a pulmonologist from Morningside Clinic and an ICU expert. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.